podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. Turned 61 this morning at about midnight, and I have good news. The good news is I still feel I'm 60. And it's a wonderful feeling. As you know, we are journeying through we've taken a stop from the book of Genesis. If you haven't been in church for a while, last week we began a series on the church. And if you're joining us for the first time, the idea over the next 4 more weeks is to talk about the church and answer the question, why are you in church? Or why are you not in church? Or why do you even go to church? And the way to answer that is to determine what is church. Because if you don't even know what it is, then it's probably not worth doing or going to. But by knowing what it is and fully what it is about, then we will have the propensity and the reason to want to come to church. I want to give you a compass to help you do that. And it doesn't mean that you should go to this church. The goal of this message is not to make you stay here. Because it's very possible that God does not want you here, and God did not call you here. But what this message is about is to get you to the place of discerning where God wants you to be, because as we pointed out last week, the church has a pattern. There is a pattern that we know the church looks like. It looks like a building, and you know how a building is. It's not a building, but it looks like a building. In other words, you can't just move a building. And there are parts to a building that have to be built into the building, and it doesn't move from place to place. We talked about the reality that part of that pattern is it's a body. And like the body has no parts that just take off, or an eye does not decide he's going to leave, or an ear decides I'm parting ways with the rest of the body, that just doesn't work. And that's why it's important for you to discern where God is placing you and which part of his body. And finally, we said it's about a bride who is married to Christ. Today, what I want to do is give you a snapshot. If you could take a picture, I don't know if they still use the word snapshot, because snapshot, whatever it is, but in my day, that's what it was called, a photograph. And this is a photograph of the baby church when it was first born. What did it look like? And that's what we want to look at. Now, today, that church does not look like this in the sense that it is a grown church. The church has grown. This was in the days when you could count in one hand how many people there were. But today there's millions and hundreds of millions, if not a billion, over a billion people who are actually people who are people of the church. And here we find in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 42, that snapshot. The picture was they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. And notice that the church was not people who just went to a service. They were people who were devoted. That word devoted in the Old English literally means addicted. They were addicted. They were, when somebody's devoted to something, he's willing to do whatever it takes to be able to get that thing done. That's what addicts do. They're devoted to whatever their addictions are. And it says they were devoted to certain things, the apostles' teaching. We come to church because we want to hear the word. Something happens to us when the word of God is proclaimed over our lives. But he said it's not just that. The church was a place of fellowship, people who were in genuine community, which is what we tackled last week. It also said that beyond just the fellowship, the actual practice of that involved the breaking of bread, communion, urged you to eat with people, fellowship with people. And finally, it said they were devoted to prayer, praying for one another, not waiting for church to happen on a Sunday to pray or get the pastor to pray for them, but to pray for one another throughout the course of the week. Husbands praying for their wives, wives praying for their husbands, friends praying for their children, members of the church praying for one another, praying for the nations, praying for the nation of Singapore. This is what the church does. Verse 43 says, everyone was filled with awe at many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Notice where it says, everyone was filled with awe. In other words, it's not just a handful of people. Everyone, the people, the visitors, the neighbors, the friends, the relations, the office mates were filled with awe with these people because there were many signs and wonders. Not a few signs and wonders. The Bible says many. In other words, it was happening in the actual building. It was happening outside of the building. It was happening in homes. It was happening in offices. It was happening everywhere they went. When I was thinking of how to illustrate these three verses, or two verses, I checked out my Instagram and I follow some of our pastors in the world. And I decided to talk about Skekman. Skekman is one of our pastors, believe it or not. He's the bald-headed guy without eyeballs right in that picture. He's our pastor in Japan. He was an executive for a multinational company and felt that he wanted to reach young people in Japan and decided to quit his job and go into full-time ministry. And he decided, and whenever you follow Skekman, his posts are always funny. You're trying to look for where is he? And there he is again. And these are some of the people he's discipling. He's reaching the next generation of Japanese people. And he's raising pastors. A few other guys like him have quit their jobs and gone into full-time ministry and are now serving the Lord and reaching for more young people. They're breaking bread. They're fellowshipping. They're not just doing church on a Sunday. They're not just assuaging their religious guilt. They're actually becoming disciples of Christ. They're devoted to the preaching of the word on campuses. They go inside classrooms and teach the gospel. And they preach it on Sundays at church. And they also break bread. I'm not sure if this qualifies, but it does look like they're breaking bread, or the plates will at least break if they drop it. Fellowship, activity, spending time together. Verse 44 and 45, it says, and the believers were together, and they had everything in common. In those days, people were impoverished. Today, you have practically everything you need. But in those days, basically, what this meant was they sold their property and possessions and gave to everyone who had need. Most of us in this room don't really have a need. You've got shoes, you've got clothes, you've got food. You're not going to go hungry. In those days, that wasn't the case. Many of these were people who were being bludgeoned by the Romans. They were under severe persecution. The point of this verse was they did life together in a very close way. And every day, they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes beyond just the church. Temple courts would be this. Homes would be in their actual homes. In other words, wherever they went, they had fellowship. And they ate together. Thank God for the church, right? We're supposed to eat together. When you get out of here, go have lunch with somebody. Don't just leave here and go home. Go eat with somebody. And they were happy and glad. Not because I have to. Some people come to church and I'm being dragged to church, rather than I'm actually glad to be in church because of a glad and sincere heart. Once again, Skekman, watching and following him on Instagram and seeing how he's doing life. And this is his wife, Sarah. And I've known Sarah since she was a little girl. And I've known them when they were still single. Church is not just a place you visit on a Sunday. It's a place that you want to be involved with the people. And that's why I'm saying this might not be your church. And that's fine for you to visit. But you've got to find the church. You've got to find the people that you're going to be walking with and living with and growing with and loving with and doing life with. I follow even the way he changes his diaper, Japanese style. I follow Skekman, amen? Church. Why sometimes it doesn't work for people is because they don't get what church is. They think it's just a place that I go to on a Sunday. They never got into fellowship. They never got into relationship. They never grew in the Word. Verse 47, praising God. There's that idea of as we go into fellowship, we're not just in fellowship, we're praising God. And enjoying the favor of all the people. In other words, as we do this, it's today the church, people actually don't like the church. The church is somebody that the people should gain favor. People will find favor in us and we'll find favor in them because as we praise God. And it says the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We don't grow the church. God adds people to the church. We can invite people to church, but that doesn't mean they're going to stay here. It's God who's going to add people to us. And again, I look at Skekman. I don't know if you realize this. Statistics in Japan, and this is a fact, 100 people commit suicide in Japan every day. It's one of the highest. Approximately 37,000 people commit suicide in Japan. And sometimes we go to church looking for miracles. Let me tell you something. It is a miracle for a Japanese person to get saved. Amen? That is a serious miracle. Sometimes the only miracle we can think of is a blessing of money and physical healing. We forget that there is a miracle that God's doing practically every day. In fact, if you counted all the miracles that are happening all across the world in all the churches of the world, you probably wouldn't have enough Instagram time to post all of them. Because that's the church. There's a pattern for the church. But the pattern is not just for the purpose of having a way of visualizing and picturing the church. The pattern is for a purpose. There's a reason why it's there. The building is there so that we would have spiritual community. And as we talked about last week, the purpose of spiritual community is that you would have people who are available to you. Available not because they're required to be, but because there's a desire because they've seen God make himself available to them. There's the people who accept you for who you are, not because of your background, your social pedigree, or your diploma, or whatever club you come from, but because God accepted you, and thus we accept you for who you are. There's no rich or poor or son of a king or somebody who comes from a different background. We reach everyone. There's affirmation. We're affirmed because we love one another. The church community, and there's affection. Last Friday, I had to go to a wake of a gentleman who was in his 80s. And the reason why I went to the wake is because their children are members of our church here. Some of them are members of our church in North Carolina. We're in 70 countries as a movement of churches. But they're Singaporeans. And their father passed away, and we went to the wake, and there we were with my wife and Safri May and Victor, who are our missionaries now. When their kids were very small, and this church here in Singapore was, and Elaine's tearing up because she remembers those days when these people were sent out and they became missionaries when their kids were very small. Teresa and Safri May were sitting there this morning. They were here this morning. I didn't expect them to be here. I thought after their father's funeral yesterday, they wouldn't have the energy to come to church, but they were here. Teresa is also a missionary to a very lost place. I can't even say where it is. But the reason why I have this picture is because when I went there, that's their father, by the way, on the left. And the reason why I remember them is because in 1987, just a few years after I became a Christian, their entire family, their father, their mother, their sisters and their brother, who was at the time 12 years old, now 45, that's how old I am, amen, came to my city of Manila to go on campuses and share the gospel as a family for 5 weeks and preach. It was encouraging to come and meet them 30 years after with the same fire, with the same passion, with the same desire to serve God, to love God, to see his kingdom come to bear in society. Even more interesting was when I started talking to their children. Their children were still passionate about God. One of their sons is in our youth ministry here. His other son, the one of the Teresa's sons, is actually studying to become a pilot so he can fly missionaries all over the world. Passion. And I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just telling you how the church is. I'm not here to make you feel guilty, or I need you to figure out and find out what the church is all about. And find your place. There's a purpose for the church. Spiritual community. The body has a purpose, and that is for spiritual growth. If church is just a place you go to, but you're not growing spiritual, then there's something wrong. You've got to find the church that will make you grow spiritually. The point of all of this, the purpose of all of this, is not just to have a pattern, but to grow in the things of God. And the way you grow is not by trying. Many of you know that if you follow me on Instagram, you know that I'm a hobbyist gardener. And you know, when you're trying to do, I'm trying to grow wild strawberries right now. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll know what's going to happen in a short while, whether they're going to die or live. When you grow plants and when you grow children, you don't try to grow them. When you plant a seed, you don't try to grow up. You know, You got to wait for that thing to grow. What you have to do is find healthy soil, find healthy nutrients, water very carefully. In other words, create a healthy atmosphere. A healthy church will grow, an unhealthy church will die. Or at least if it's not dead, it will feel like it's dead. Amen? Growth happens when you have something that is healthy. That goes for children. You don't grow children. Children grow up when they're healthy. When your children, this morning I had my grandchildren all sending me messages. And they're not growing because their parents are growing them. They're growing because their parents are taking care of them. And if you take care of them and you provide the essentials, they will grow because they're healthy spiritually. So what is spiritual growth? Worship together. It said they broke bread, they prayed, they worshiped God, not just here. This is practice, folks. Worship is every day of your life. When people ask my children, they are now adults and married, and they say, well, how did you become like that? Why are you so passionate about God? And you know what the typical, and I'm not saying this to brag, it's just what they say. These are people who come to me and say, your son said this, that the reason why they're following God is not because of anything you've done, it's because they would wake up in the morning and they would see you in your knees reading your Bible and praying. Is this something you just do on a Sunday, or is this something that's real in your life? And that's true for my wife. They would tell me, I would watch my mother weep for others, pray for others. They were church people, worshiping together. And that's the reason why, and I'm going to say this as nice as I can, you shouldn't be late on Sundays. And everybody said, and here's why. Jesus does not need air conditioning. The temperature in heaven is perfect. He doesn't need comfortable chairs. His throne is the greatest throne in the universe. He doesn't need the Word because He is the Word. The only thing Jesus gets on a Sunday, by the way, is worship. And when you're late, you get it, right? And let me just make things clear for you. Worship is not about singing songs. Worship is not about our band singing to us. Worship is a band leading us to sing with them to an audience of one. One person. You're not singing to your neighbor. Forget your neighbor and worship God in His fullness because He is worthy of worship. That's worthy. Worship. He is so worthy of it. And grow up in learning how to worship Him. And if you can do that here, the chances of you doing it for the rest of the week is very high and probable. I love you. Amen. That's why I'm telling you the truth. Worship. Let that settle down a little bit before we get to the next part. Churches are spiritual families, and there are spiritual parents in churches. Parents love you, and they'll tell you what you need to hear. It may not always be what you want. And by the way, at 61, this is a product not because of I'm a great guy. It's because of the people I've learned to walk with. And if you don't have people like that in your life, you're not going to be very great because you're going to need someone to tell you, Joey, that's stupid, that thing you're doing right now. And I've had people in church, when times when I bullied my wife, this is a long time ago, so you don't have to stone me, okay? I would bully my wife. She would tell me, you know, you're never at home for your children. And I'll say, well, I'm a businessman. How do you suppose we're going to eat? And she'll make sure, and she'll hold me accountable. By the way, if you have a wife that doesn't hold you accountable, you better empower that wife to hold you accountable because she's the one who sees everything that's rotten about you. Amen? If you keep bullying her, you're never going to get changed. One time she kept saying this and telling me, you got to be here for your children. When you're here, your heart's not here. And you can do that with church. You come here and you're worshiping and your heart's not here. By the way, we're not checking that. God knows. And so finally, one day I got irritated and said, well, you know what? I'll stay here and maybe we won't have money. Maybe you should stop having manicures. She was so mad at me, she went to the pastor and said to the pastor, you know what this guy said to me? And I was in the couch of the pastor. Pastor, look at me. You never do that again to your wife. And I never did again. Amen? Thank God for people to speak. Who is the person in your life who can say no to you? Do you have one? Because that's what church is. If you think you don't need one, then you're Mr. Perfect. Amen? Or Miss Perfect. Or Mrs. Perfect. This is going to be a good sermon in a while. Trust me. You live the Word. Are you growing in the Word, or is it your stories are so old? They're like in 1977. What was the fresh time that God moved in your life? Whose lives are growing in God is the people who walk with God, people who pray together. I was walking out of church Sunday. All of this was gone. There was nobody here. There was just one guy up there. And I walked up there, and there was Alice there. And I said, what are you doing here? And they said, you know, where's your wife? Where's Holly? He said, well, Pastor, she had to fly home, and you know, we were just quietly being here, and her mom's heart stopped, and she just had to hurry up, and we had to buy an expensive ticket and get her on it, and she had to fly, and we were just praying in long distance. And she landed, went to the hospital, and to this moment, the doctors still cannot explain how a person whose heart has stopped, and she gets there and prays, and now she's alive and she's recovering. You think about how many miracles happen. And I wouldn't know that had I not met him. The interesting thing about Alistair was I had coffee with him a month ago, and I was trying to figure out if this guy was for real. You know how you can talk to somebody for a few minutes and you would know where they are in Christ. And it was like just pure love for Jesus. He was interesting. He's a physical education specialist. That's what he does. If you see his body, he looks like some kind of, when you touch him, it feels like holding a piece of wood. But the love for God was real. There's a guy in our church, his name is Kashin. He's on top of Mount Everest. He just finished climbing it. Member of our church. And he's in community here. He's got one of those satellite phones. In other words, to get a signal. How many of you know if you don't have a signal in the theater, you're going to have to move around? At Mount Everest, you've got serious blind spots. So he's got to use this satellite phone to get there. So every now and then he'll get to me on WhatsApp or Facebook, and we would be chatting and discipling. That's his wife and children in that. And he's holding it and telling his wife. He's got a private Facebook there where everybody posts things. And I was exchanging WhatsApp with him in April 26. He said, thank you, Pastor Joey. I was up in the mountains for the past few days. No internet connection. Yesterday I came back down to base camp and missed a collapse in icefall section by an hour. It was an avalanche. Two were injured, could have happened to any climber. Thank God for keeping me safe. So before I responded, I went to the Himalayan Times and I saw these two injured. It was a bad situation. He was trying to make it simple, but he could have really gotten trapped there. Everybody could have gotten trapped there and gotten killed. So I responded back and said, pretty serious stuff. You be careful out there. The Lord has obviously spared you. I didn't know how to spell that day. Spread you. Question. Would you let me tell your story and God's protection over you? If you don't feel comfortable, just say so. I just feel the story is a testament to God's favor over his people. Yes, no problem telling my story. I'm so grateful to the Lord for his protection. To add on, there were 7 climbers in Mount Everest expedition, and everyone has been sick or feeling the negative effects of high altitude, vomiting, etc., except for me. How many miracles are there? I'm the only one, strong and healthy one, and I know the Lord has put a circle of protection to prevent the sick climbers from even infecting me, despite our close daily proximity. Miracles happen every day, even on top of Mount Everest. It's community. It's a community of people. It's people who have learned to walk together. And finally, it's a bride. The purpose of a bride is spiritual intimacy. There is a unfaithful bride, and there is such a thing as a faithful bride. Someone who is genuine in love. And pastors don't check up on you. I don't check attendance. God knows your attendance. God knows your heart. God knows your faithfulness. My job is to preach the word. My job is to disciple you. My job is to help you, inspire you to want to read that word, because I know that if you got into that word, you will grow. Spiritual intimacy is remaining faithful to Christ. That's what holiness is. I'm still in this age, at this point in my life, veering away and staying away and saying no to the things of this world, because I want to be intimate with Christ. I want to be his bride. I'm faithful to his mission. My wife is faithful to the mission that God gave us together. It's not just my mission. It's not just her mission. It's our mission. If I'm going to be faithful to Christ, I'm going to be faithful to his mission. I'm faithful to be holy. I can't just live life the way I want to live. I mean, if there's a relationship that God wants me to deal with, if there's a sin that the Bible clearly says is a sin, I've got to get rid of it in my life. Now, we're not after perfection. There's no such thing. We're after growth and intimacy. My marriage is not perfect, but it's growing. We're not stopping where we are. And we're getting closer, and we're becoming more intimate as we get to know each other more. That's what God's asked. That's the church. If you're following us on our app, you will know some of the things that we do. I'm following some of our guys here in church about what they're doing, and I found this last weekend, this couple of our church, Daniel and Wendy. He's a banker and she's a doctor, and they're there, out there serving people, engaging people, reaching out to people, teaching the younger parents how to be good parents. This is not a church activity. This is just them. And this morning, they were here. And as I looked at them, I looked at their son, and I realized their son is already a teenager. How old is Joseph? Is he a teenager? Not yet. 15, he's a teenager. And then it made me just feel old again because I met Daniel and Wendy when they were not even married. Church. Church is long-term. Church is not just a place to come and get my guilt assuaged and feel good about myself. Church is spiritual family. It's a compass. Church, the spiritual family, has three ways you can determine whether this is the church or that thing that you're going to is the church. Spiritual community, spiritual growth, spiritual intimacy. Are people making themselves available? Are people accepting one another? Are people affirming one another? Is there an affection that's being felt? Or are you not there because you're not available? You're not accepting people for who they are. You're not affirming others. Are you growing in the Word, in worship, and in prayer? How's your spiritual intimacy with Christ? Is it getting more intimate and closer? How's your intimacy with His mission? How's your intimacy with holiness? Are you still attempting to, or striving to, or making it your goal that I want to live for Jesus? Not what I want, but what He wants. Because when you have spiritual community, when you have spiritual growth and spiritual intimacy, you will have maturity. And you will not be blown, tossed, and through, and back and forth, and never realizing where you are. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity of the faith. How? In the knowledge of the Son of God. This is progressive. And then we become mature, attaining to the full measure, the fullness of Christ. The full measure, not the religious measure, the full measure, everything that heaven has to offer. God gives us and uses His church. My devotional and my tweet this morning was this. Birthday morning devotional. Maturity in God is not knowing more things about Him, but about living and doing the few things that you've learned about Him. Sometimes people think, the more I know. No, it's not about how much you know. It's how much of what you know are you living and doing and walking into. That's how you become mature. Amen? That's the church. The body that gets greater and greater and becomes more influential in the nation, in the cities, in the world. That was the dream of God. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in the word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for your holy word. Holy Spirit, thank you that you open our hearts and you empower your word to baptize us into the truth, the reality of your plans, your patterns, your purposes for the church. I ask you, God, touch us. Put that compass in our hearts to know your church, to know the fake from the real, not the one that feels like, looks like, acts like, but the real thing. This is our prayer, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.